Okay, so around $1,200, well, a bit above the middle of the armored line within Toshma. Okay, the Gemara has been discussing the question like this. The Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yehuda had given, not Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshua rather, had given us a general rule as follows. If the korban had shas heter, then kodshim we're talking about. If the korban had shas heter, then me'ila doesn't apply to it anymore. But if it didn't have shas heter, then me'ila still applies to it even after the zrika. So we were discussing what exactly does shas heter mean. There's three possibilities. It could be heter shchita, that the shchita was done properly, and we don't care what happens after that. It could be that the heter zrika, that we've reached the point where the blood is allowed to be sprinkled, namely the shchita, kabbalah, and halacha were done properly, and we don't care what happened during the zrika itself, as long as we were in a position where we were able to do it. Especially, there's the concept called kol omid lizorik kizoruk domi, that if the blood is going to be sprinkled, then it can be considered to a certain extent as if it already was. Or the third possibility is it was heter achila, that it actually has to be. It reached the point where the meat is actually able to be eaten by the kohenim. Namely, that all four avodas have been done properly. There were no psulim, no nothing, and then, for example, you could have, let's say, the meat may have become possible afterwards, let's say, by becoming noiser or what have you, but that wouldn't matter because it was already able to be eaten by the kohenim.
So one question. It's very unlikely the first Aveda Shita, since it can be done by Zar, would be taken into account.
No, it would, because the fact is, we still, as we learned in Zvachim, Tigul was relevant there, right? If we were to have a Machshev Zman during the Shita, even though he's a Zar, it still takes effect in there, and the Korban is still Tigul. Well, then, if you had a Machshev Zmachim, it'll be possible, and so forth. So, yeah. So the first possibility is that we meant is Heter Shita, and what it means is, then, when it says Heter Lakoyanim, means that at that point, the Koyanim are now allowed to continue with their part of the Avodah. Namely, the Kabbalah ma'elach mitzvah kohona, from the Kabbalah is reserved for the kohenim. So heter shchita would mean, therefore, that the zor has done his part. Now the kohenim are able to take over. So that was one possibility. Again, the second one is heter zrika, and the third one is heter achila. So we said that Chizkiyah holds that what the Mishnah means is heter shchita. So Chizkiyah would say, as long as the shchita was done properly, we consider that it had a shasa kosher. Therefore, me'ila will go away, even if something else went wrong during one of the later avodas. For example, they had a machshev zman or makom or what have you. Rabbi Yochanan said heter achila, so it actually has to reach the point where it's mutter to eat. And we had in the Gemara, we had Rabbi Zera arguing that the Mishnah seems to imply actually heter zrika, the middle one.
The first opinion,
Chizkiyah holds heter shchita. Rabbi Yochanan, who was Chizkiyah's Talmud, holds heter achila. And Rabbi Zera argues that the wording of the Mishnah seems to imply that should be heter zrita. Okay, so we've been going through. So the Gemara has gone now through. So we started that sugya began on Dalet Amud Beis, and we went through. We went through a considerable amount of discussion so far about what the possibilities are, and what the Mishnah would mean, and what the Mishnah would mean, for example, when it says that kiblu psulim bezochu as dama, that if psulim did Kabbalah and Zrika, does it mean they did both? Does it mean they did only one? Okay. So we're holding on Vav Amud Aleph, a little bit above the middle.
Obviously, Shchita and Achila is very simple to understand.
Yeah.
Because Shchita is Shchita, which means that's Shchita.
Yeah.
It's not anymore a problem with the rest. Normally, it's Shchita.
Okay.
Zrika is apart. Of course, you need the power. For Shchita and Achila is the puzzle, the best.
Achila is the best, right? Yeah. But the point would be,
Zrika and this, you need two people.
Right, but on the other hand, the zrika is what makes it, is what merasa the korban. So you could argue, once you've reached the point where the zrika can be done, that
then
can already be...
All right.
The kapara is accomplished through the zrika. So Rabbi Yochanan would say, right, the zrika itself has to have been done. Rabbi Yochanan would say the zrika itself has to have been done properly, and now we're at the point where we're able to do achila. And would be only when you can actually eat it, only once the zrika was done. But Rabbi Zera was arguing that the Mishnah seems to be implying more heter zrika, that it doesn't matter even if there was a psul during the zrika itself, as long as you reach the point where the zrika could have been done properly.
I think.
Okay. That's because the Mishnah had used an expression. Rabbi Zera had argued that the Mishnah and mention a case where lon, and we said that lon on the face of it means that means the blood was left over and wasn't sprinkled by shkia, and Rabbi Yeshua called that it had a shasta kosher. So we have to say that in order to say that not, we would have to say that it means that the meat was left over. But okay, whatever. Anyway. Okay, so the Kabbalah, what about it? No, if the Kabbalah was done properly and the Halacha was done, then you're up to Zrika. Tosfos mentions over here a point that we learned in Zvachim, that Reb Shimon, we're going to be dealing now with a couple of brises that Reb Shimon says his opinion. Reb Shimon holds you don't necessarily need Halacha. So according to Reb Shimon, because according to him, you could just shack next to the Mizbeach, let's say, and then do the Zrika right there. You don't need to actually walk it over to the Mizbeach, whereas the Chachamim disagrees. The Halacha is like the Chachamim. But anyway, according to Reb Shimon, Halacha is not true. According to Reb Shimon, if Halacha is done by apostle, then sure. So he would hold that if, for example, if the Halacha was done by somebody who was apostle, let's say, then he would say the Korban is still kosher, because Halacha is something that you could dispense with. You don't necessarily need it. So according to him, once you have Shrita and Kabbalah, then yeah, you're up to Zrita already.
Yeah. Technically, as soon as the animal is designated, you could say that afterwards there would be no yom.
With Kodshe Kodshim, that's true. We're talking about not when Me'ila begins, but when it ends. For Kodshe Kodshim, when the Zrita takes place, Me'ila now ends on the meat. Because now the meat is mutter to be eaten by the Kohenim, well, if we say Heter Achila, because the meat is now mutter to be eaten by the Kohenim, therefore it's not called Kodshe Hashem anymore, and therefore Me'ila no longer applies. Whereas if we say Heter Shchita or Heter Zrika, then it means at an earlier stage already Me'ila goes away.
When it doesn't apply.
When it no longer applies, right, when Me'ila goes away, that's there. As opposed to Kodshim Kalim is going to be the opposite, that's going to be later on.
When it starts.
Whereas when it starts, right. Okay, so the last thing we brought in that connection at the top of the Amud, we brought a Braisa where if Shimon says that there's some kind of noiser where it's possible to do Me'ila with and some not, it depends whether it was Lifnei Zrika or La'acha Zrika. So the Gemara said that maybe Lifnei Zrika and La'acha Zrika doesn't mean whether the Zrika itself was actually done or not, but whether the Korban was shechted so close to Shkia that Zrika is impossible versus where it was shechted early enough in the day that Zrika would be possible. So it could still work if we say Heter Zrika. Toshma, Reb Shimon, I mean, yes, pigul shemoyelin boi, yes, pigul shein moyelin boi. Reb Shimon also says there's two different kinds of pigul when it comes to the din of Me'ila. That some of them, there's one kind where Me'ila is possible and one kind where Me'ila is not possible. Case that, lifnei zrika moyelin, if it's before zrika, then Me'ila applies, la'acha zrika ein moyelin, and after zrika, Me'ila doesn't apply. So Katoni, now the Gemara is going to try the same thing on this that it did on the previous Braisa. Katoni Mias lifnei Zrika Moilin Bo. So you're saying before Zrika Me'ila applies, my love to have a show of the Mizrake, don't you mean that we're talking about where there was enough time in the day when Zrika could have been done, and therefore the boy Zorik, if he wanted, he would have been able to do the Zrika. Right, Zikatoni Moilin Boy, and yet we're saying that Me'ila still applies even though the Zrika was able to be done. So that can't be then that we mean Heter Zrika. It has to be Oshmamina Heter Achila Shaninu. Therefore, that would be a coincidence of Yechanan, that Heter Achila, that the fact that the Zrika could have been done is not good enough. It has to be the Zrika was actually done, and since it wasn't, then Me'ila still applies. The answer is why? Not necessarily does the Braisa mean that. No, what we mean is maybe it means that there was like before, like there wasn't enough time in the day to sprinkle it. So you can't say that we reached Heter Zrika at this point because there was no way to be able to do the Zrika. You did the Shchita right, but you did the Shchita and Kabbalah right before Shkia, and there just wasn't enough time left in the day to still be able to do the Zrika. Well, yeah, that's the point. If we say Heter Zrika, Shandino, if we say the key point is when does Me'ila go away from these Kodshe Kodshim, when you're able to do the Zrika, then we would say that's why the Braisa would be saying that Lifnei Zrika Moyelin, because in this case the Zrika can't be done because it's too close to Shkia. There's no time before Shkia to be able to do right. So therefore Me'ila stays, exactly.
Could you read the sentence again?
lav to have a show with the mizrake doesn't mean that there was time in the day to sprinkle it. The boy zorik, so if he wanted, he could have sprinkled it. Zikatoni marilin boy, and yet we say even though the zrika was able to be done, meila still applies. Or shmamina heter achila sheninu. That would mean therefore that the only thing that takes away meila is heter achila, only when you actually sprinkle the blood, and now the meat is mutter to eat, like Rabbi Yechanan. And the answer is loy. That's not necessarily what it means. It means the loy have a show with the mizrake. It means there wasn't enough time in the day to sprinkle it. And therefore, so there's no heter zrika. Because if there was enough time, then there would be heter zrika. But like this, there wasn't enough
time.
Right. No, but right. Well, that's the point. So therefore it's heter zrika. Right. That's the point. No, so it means, in other words, we're talking heter zrika. So we obviously can't be going like chizkia, that it's heter shchita, because the shchita is already over and done with. It has to be heter zrika. But the question is, Abel Haba shows the Mizrake Mai. So what are you going to say? And if there was time to sprinkle it, then what are you going to say? Hochinami Nafik Mi Demi Ila. You're going to say that means that, yes, as long as there was time, then Mi'ila goes away, even though you didn't actually sprinkle. In that case, Mai Ilya De Toni La'achazuka, then why should the Braisa mention that the words la'achar zrika, that after zrika, which makes it sound like after the actual zrika, lisni kodim shkiyo la'achar shkiyo sakama. The Braita should use the expression that if the shkita and kabbalah were done before shkiyo versus after, or if the time came before or after shkiyo. And the answer is hachinamakama. You could say that's exactly what the Braita means. Kodim shiyiroi lezrika la'achar shiyiroi lezrika. It doesn't mean before the zrika and after the zrika was actually done. It means before the zrika was capable of being done, meaning there was enough time in the day still to have time to do the zrika, and then we would say that then me'ila goes away, and then that so lifne zrika moyalin would mean where it was done without enough time, kodim shiyiroi lezrika. It was done at such a time of day where there was no time left in order to be able to do the zrika. So there was a rest. As opposed to la'achar would mean la'achar should yiroi lezrika, after it was suitable to do zrika. So he did the shchita and the kabbalah sometime before shkia, long enough that they could have done the zrika, and even though they didn't actually do it, the b'raisa would be saying. So there's no proof, in other words, so the b'raisa could be read either way, therefore it can't go according to chizkia, granted, but it could go either according to Reb Zera, heter zrika, or according to Reb Yechanan, heter achila.
But the one that says that if you did kabbalah, it's as if you sprayed it. That sounds very much like him.
Well, that is Reb Shimon, indeed. Well, this is Reb Shimon speaking in the Braisa. I mean, you're fine. Yeah. Tosfos actually brings up a side point, which is, if we're talking about over here about Pigel, which avoida exactly did he do Pigel in? It can't be during the Shchita, or it can't be during the Shchita, because we're saying the Kabbalah was done properly. It can't be during the Halacha. Reb Shimon holds you can't make it Pigel during Halacha, because we just said Halacha is defensible. You don't necessarily need Halacha. So no, Zrika is already too late. We're talking about that if the Lifnei Zrika and La'acha Zrika, meaning by the time you come to the Zrika, it's already, you're already talking about whether you're already talking about it being Pigel. So Tosfos says we have to be talking about evidently first Kabbalah, so it says, right. So we have to be talking about that, let's say, during the Kabbalah itself, he received enough blood in the basin to be able to sprinkle on the Mizbeach, and then he continued receiving more because he's supposed to receive all the Dama Nefesh, and while he's receiving the rest of it, then he starts thinking a Machsheva. Okay. So the point is, in other words, there was enough blood in there already to make the Kabbalah kosher, but on the other hand, the fact is, he did have a Machsheva Zman.
So if that would happen, then.
So we're saying, therefore, so that's the case. So that's the case, in other words. One second.
Is why he didn't mention the word Kabbalah.
Hold on. That's not Tosfos' question. Tosfos, and besides, heter zrika means the Kabbalah was done properly. The word heter zrika automatically... There's four avodas. Shchita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. According to Reb Shimon, Halacha is defensible. So therefore, according to him, as far as Pigel is concerned, you have only three. When we say heter shchita, heter zrika, heter achila, basically what we mean is those three stages. Heter shchita means the shchita was done properly. Heter zrika means the shchita, Kabbalah, and Halacha were done properly. And heter achila would mean also the zrika was done properly. Yeah.
Everything was done properly.
Exactly, right. Fine. So anyway, the point is there's no proof from this braisa because you could understand lifnei zrika and la'achar zrika to mean literally before and after the zrika, which would be like Rabbi Yechanan. But you could also understand it before when there was not time to do the zrika versus when there was, which would work according to Rabbi Zera. So no proof.
But if there was enough time and the zrika was not done.
according to the Bzeira, it would still be Mi'ila still went away because the fact that you could have done Zrika is enough. According to Rav Yechon, enough because you don't have Hetzer Achila. Okay. Toshma, Hapigo Bekodshe Kodshim Moilin. Let's see, another Braita says, we quoted this Braita earlier in the Sugya, says, Pigo, when it comes to Kodshe Kodshim Moilin, Mi'ila applies to it. And here, unlike when we had a couple of braises on this, one braise used the word la'olam. One second, we had a braise that said a pigul la'olam moilin bo, and we discussed what la'olam means. Does it mean before or after the zrika? Here, we don't have la'olam. Here, it's just that where the braise is saying that pigul in kodshe kodshe moilin. Now, obviously, the braise can't be telling us, on the face of it, the braise can't be telling us that me'ila applies before zrika, because there's no chiddush in that. Of course, even if it wasn't pigul, me'ila still applies before zrika. So, my lab is Zorach. So it has to be talking about, even after Zrika, the Braitha is telling us, in effect, what Rav Gidol said, we had previously in the Gemara, that Rav Gidol had said on Gimel Amud Beis, that if the Koven is Pigul, then the Zrika, given that it's not Matir, the meat to be eaten, does not take away Mi'ila. So the Braitha would be saying exactly that. So in that case, then it means, it tells us Rav Gidol's din, but also the point is that the point is that it also is talking about that the Zrika was actually done. Ushma mina heter achila sheninu, which again would mean we have to be talking about what takes away Mi'ila, only heter achila. In this case, you don't have a heter achila, because even though the Zrika was done, the korban is pigul and you're not allowed to eat it. Therefore, the Braita is telling us Mi'ila still applies. That works according to Rav Yechanan. The answer is light. Loads, a loads Zorak, not necessarily. It could be talking about where he didn't sprinkle the blood yet. And the Braita is telling us that when the chiddush then of the Braita would be like this. When it comes to a kosher korban, we can say the concept, like we were saying before, kol omid li zorik kizorik yomi, that even though the blood hasn't been sprinkled yet, it's going to be, therefore, it can be considered as if it already was. But only by a kosher korban, a pig or a korban, you're not supposed to sprinkle the blood. Therefore, you can't say it's not omid li zorik. That would be the point. So the braita could be...
So you could interpret
the braita as saying, if the Kabbalah was done properly, then at that point, if it's a kosher korban, as long as everything up to and including Kabbalah was done well, then you're good. Then Mi'ila goes away, which would be like Rav Zeira. However, if the korban was pigul, then no, the Kabbalah does not take away the Mi'ila because there's no heter zrika. You're not allowed to sprinkle on the mizbeach. Right. So the question is, Abel Zorak Mai. So what are you going to answer then? You're saying that if the blood was sprinkled, then you're going to say the Braita is implying Hochinami de En Moilin Bo. You're going to say the implication is, but after the Zrika was done, then Mi'ila would no longer apply. In that case, Mai Uriya de Toni Kodshim Kalim En Moilin Bo. In that case, why does the Braita continue by drawing a distinction between Kodshe Kodshim, where Mi'ila applies, and Kodshim Kalim, where it doesn't? Instead of making a distinction between Kodshe Kodshim, Kodshim Kalim, Lisni Kan Lifne Zrika Kan La'acha Zrika. Let it make a distinction within Kodshe Kodshim itself before Zrika and after Zrika. The fact that it doesn't make that distinction implies that the Braisa is telling us whether Lifne Zrika or whether La'acha Zrika, either way Mi'ila still applies, and that can only be a coincidence of Yechanan, Heter Zrika Sheninu. Heter Achila Sheninu. Yeah. Otherwise, the Braita didn't have to distinguish between Kodshe Kodshim and Kodshim Kalim. It could have mentioned a distinction within Kodshe Kodshim itself. Now, previously, when the Gemara brought up this Braita in connection with Rav Gidol's din and was discussing it, the Gemara gave an answer that not necessarily, because you could say the Tana wanted to mention Kodshe Kodshim versus Kodshim Kalim, because that's a clear-cut distinction. You always have that Kodshim Kalim are not going to have Mi'ila in such a scenario when it was tickled. Whereas Kodshim Kodshim, maybe it would depend before Lifnei Zrika or La'acha Zrika. It's not a Kalvachim. It's two different din. You have a din that applies to Kodshim Kodshim and a whole different din that applies to Kodshim Kalim. No, it doesn't work that way. Normally, if the Kovin is not Pigul or otherwise possible or whatever, the point of Zrika, which is when Mi'ila goes away from Kodshim Kodshim, is the point when it starts with Kodshim Kalim. We're going to learn it later on in the Masechta Pesukim, but no Kavachom possible. Doesn't start until a proper Zrika is done. And that was also one of Rav Gidol's dinim. Rav Gidol had told us on Gimel Amud Beis, two dinim. Number one, that by Kodshe Kodshim, which are Pigul, the Zrika does not take away Mi'ila. And number two, that by Kodshim Kalim, the Zrika does not cause Mi'ila to start. Yeah. Okay. So, well, 1 second. The Rambam does pass in like Rav Yehuda, yeah. But anyway, but that we dealt with mostly in the previous. So Rav Yehuda, we're just bringing it as an incidental thing. But yeah. Anyway, the point is that, so there the Gemara gave that answer, that the reason why the Braisa distinguishes between Kodshim and Kodshim Kalam is just because it's a very clear-cut distinction, whereas the distinction between Kodshim itself is not necessarily so clear-cut. Here the Gemara gives a different answer. Why does the Braisa mention only within Kodshe Kodshim and distinguish between before the Zrika and after Zrika? The reason is Ha Asya and because the Braisa, the Tana, wants to tell us as follows. Kol Isuri, the day Me'ilah, any time when you're talking about bringing, making Me'ilah, Bichal, Zrika Ketikna Maisi L'day Me'ilah, then only if it's a proper Zrika and there was no Psul, only then does it bring it to Me'ilah, which would be Rav Gidol's second din. That by Kodshe Kodshim, only a proper Zrika, only where there was no psul, makes Me'ilah begin by Kodshe Kodshim. However, Kola Pukim, Yidei Me'ilah, however, the Braisa might be implying that when you're talking about taking away Me'ilah that already exists, which is by Kodshe Kodshim, Afilo Shaloi Ketikna Nami, even if there's something improper about the Zrika, for example, the Korban was Pigol, Nami Maska Yidei Me'ilah, it also takes away Me'ilah, which would not be like Rav Gidol. So the Braisa could be implying, out of Rav Gidol's two dinim, the Tana could be saying, I agree with the second din about Kodshim Kalim, but I disagree with the first din about Kodshim Kodshim.
Rav Gidol would say,
in both cases, the Zrika is not considered a Zrika, and therefore doesn't have either effect, not on Kodshim Kodshim, not on Kodshim Kalim. The Tana of the Braisa doesn't necessarily have to agree with that. So he could be mentioning the distinction between Kodshe Kodshim before and after Zrika in order to stress that point that he doesn't agree with Rav Gidol that the Zrika of Pigol does not take away Me'ilah by Kodshe Kodshim. He could be saying the Zrika would take away Pigol, but you don't have a proof. Well, the Tana, right. So you still don't have a solid proof from this Braisa. For or against Rav Yechanan or Rav Zera, heter Zrika or heter Achila. In the end, rather the smag paskins like Rav Zera, because he says the wording of the Mishnah in particular, we said at the beginning of the sugya, seems to flow better according to him. The Rambam, on the other hand, paskins like Rav Yechanan. Well, because if it's
seven braises,
well, it's two different braises, right? One braise says a pigul la'olam moilin bo, and we discussed whether the olam is meant to include after zrika, or is it while talking about a chatos or osham which can be eaten? Is it maybe only talking about an ola? That was earlier on Dabdala. We had about that when we were in the middle of discussing Rav Gidol. Now we're dealing with a second braise, which we should also mention over there, which doesn't use the word la'olam. So yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Sar Kodshe Kodshim Shiyosa Litne Zrikat Domin. Meat of Kodshe Kodshim that was taken out of the Azara before the blood was sprinkled. So now, the blood is supposed to remain, not the blood, the meat, well, the blood also for that matter, but whatever, the meat is supposed to remain in the Azara. If not, then it's possible it's a psul called Yoyse. Kodshe Kodshim. It can only be eaten in the Azara by the male Kohenim. The Chatas, the Osham, Zivche Shamit Zibur, yeah.
Kalim
we're not dealing with yet. Kalim we're going to deal with in later, Mishnayos. Yeah. Okay, so Kodshe Kodshim, so the meat of them is supposed to stay in the Azara. Like this, you took it out before the Zrika, and then Rashi says you brought it back in, and then they sprinkle the blood. So what's
the difference between parts or complete all meat?
That's what we're going to talk about in the Gemara, whether we're talking about some of the meat or whether we're going to talk about all of it. Hold that thought. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer says Me'ilah still applies to it because even though the Zrika was done, he holds the Zrika doesn't help for meat that was taken out. So therefore, it's still also to eat, and therefore the Zrika doesn't make it mutter to eat. Because he holds in general that Zrika does not help for yoytzing. It doesn't help to make it be allowed to eat, and therefore.
What did he hold again? What's
it's called Zrika Ein Me'ilah for yoytzing.
Right, but what is
Yotze? Yotze means that it's taken out of the place where it's supposed to be.
But when is it Yotze?
It was Yotze before the Zrika, we're talking about.
Before.
If it was taken out after the Zrika, it's also possible, but then you can't talk about whether the Zrika is Machshir, because obviously it is.
According to
Rabbi Eliezer, if it was outside of the Azara at any time before the Zrika, even if now, at the time of the Zrika, it's back in the Azara, then no good. Not only is it possible to eat, but the blood is not doing anything for it. Therefore, Me'ilah still applies to it. The ein chayav and alamishum pigul and noiser and tummy. On the other hand, he's makel and he says pigul and noiser and tummy wouldn't apply to that meat because a proper zrika wasn't done on it. The same thing with shitasa, it wasn't considered a proper zrika relative to this meat. So therefore, and therefore pigul and noiser and tummy haven't kicked in yet.
It's possible, basically.
It's possible, right? Rav Akiva ein moyel, Rav Akiva on the one hand is makel and says. In one way, he's makel. He says that Me'ilah does not apply to it. And here, Rashi says, by the way, even if it was outside the Azara at the time of the Zrika, just the fact that, because Rabbi Akiva holds, Zrika Me'elah Slayotse, he holds that Zrika is effective, not as far as that you're allowed to eat it. Rabbi Akiva agrees there's a lav on eating it, but he holds that at least it helps that it takes away the Me'ilah on it. On the other hand, because of that, Chayav and Mishum Pigul and Noitzu and Tomei. On the other hand, he's Machmu over Rabbi Eliezer, that Pigul, Noitzu and Tomei will apply to it. Because if the Zrika was effective for it, then it means now it became regular meat of Kodshim. Well, regular meat of Kodshim, Pigul, Noitzu and Tomei apply. If the Korban had become Pigul, if previously, at some previous point during the Avodah, the Korban had become Pigul, so during the Shchita or the Kabbalah or what have you, he had had a Machshevet Zman, which makes it Pigul, and now, in addition, the meat of it was taken out of the Azorah before the Zrika, because remember, even though it can become Pigul during any of the four Avodahs, it only becomes Nikba the Pigul, it only becomes that now Pigul, right, it only becomes actually that Chayav and Pigul, and the person is Chayav Kares for it, only when the blood is sprinkled. So that would be the scenario over here, that two things went wrong. Number one, he made it Pigul during one of the Avodahs, and number two, before the Zrika, he took the meat out. So nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva is saying that the Zrika did have an effect to change the status of the meat. Now it's officially considered meat of a Korban, and therefore Pigul, Noser, and Tomei apply. But on the other hand, Me'ilah doesn't apply anymore because it's not Kodshei Hashem anymore. By the way, the Achronim deal with the question, if it's already Osir as Yotzeh, how is the Issur of Pigul or Noser or Tomei Chal on top of it anyway? What happened to Ein Issur Chal al Issur?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right. So there's a variety of answers that the Achronim give. One of them is that, one answer is that, hold on. When it comes to Pigul and Tomei, there's less of a problem because Pigul applies collectively to the whole korban, so not just the piece that was taken out, but also the whole rest of the korban. So it's an issur korban. Tomei also, because a Tomei person is not allowed to eat any part of that korban, so it's also an issur korban. As far as noiser, one possibility I think the Tiferes Yisrael brings up is similarly when the clock strikes and then the korban becomes noiser, both the piece that was taken outside the azara and the pieces that remained inside the azara both become noiser at the same moment. So it's also kind of an issur moiser, it's a korban rather. Yeah, there's other explanations. There's also the fact that that noiser specifically has to be burnt. And Yotze, you don't specifically have a particular chiyuv to burn it. Noiser has to be burnt after the following morning. You're not allowed to burn it that night. Mashen din Yotze, actually, there's a din called Ibur Tzura, actually. So I take that back, rather. Noiser, you have a specific din. You have to burn it during the day. Yotze, you do have to have Ibur Tzura, but nevertheless, Ibur Tzura means that you leave it until it starts spoiling, and then you can burn it, but you don't have to burn it by day.
You can if you want to,
but you don't have to. And Bechlal, there's another point that one of the Achronim points out is that Yotzeh is not really a psul in the goof of it. It's sort of a side psul from the fact that it was taken out, whereas Noiser is more of a psul in the actual goof of the korban itself. But there's also the point also Noiser is chayav koris and Yotzeh is not. So according to Tosfos, a stronger Isser can be chal on a weaker Isser. Anyway, okay.
To answer the fact that you can have two sort of
on the one piece of meat, right? So the fact that you can have Issur Kolil and Issur Mosif, that we learned about in Christmas. You have Issur Kolil, Issur Mosif, Issur Batachas, and according to Tosfos also Issur Chomer. But so in this case, you have to resort to one or another of these things to explain why this meat, which is already also by a lav as a result of Yotze, why it can become also either Pigul or Noiser or Yotze. There's an Issur. There's a lav on it that you're not allowed to eat. Yeah, there's a pulpit that you're not allowed to eat. Meat from a chakras or an ashram or what have you that was taken out of the other.
A reason?
Most dinim of karbana, so hoking. Yeah, that's all.
Sure, you say it's because I have something, you say something
else. So that's Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Omer Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva says, I can prove that Me'ilah shouldn't apply to it. Says Rabbi Akiva, imagine you have a case where a person designated an animal for a chatas, then it got lost. We learned about scenarios like this in Shmura. The hifrish acher sachter, so he set aside another animal instead to bring as a carbon, but he didn't actually bring it yet. Then he found the original one. And both of them now are standing in front of him. Now, the din is like this. If he shechts both of them, and then he sprinkles the blood of one of them, the other one, it can't be a chatas amesa anymore, because it's already been shechted. If he had shechted one of them, then yes, the other one would be a chatas amesa, because miskap rubacher. But like this, where Rashi explains over here, he shechted both of them, and then he sprinkled the blood of one of them, the other one is now considered moister chatas, and what happens is, loy kashem shadama poiter es besara. Now, isn't it true that just like when you sprinkle the blood of the first one, it also patters the second one from Mi'ilah, because in that sense, they're considered like one carbon, because after all, you shechted both of them, one after the other. Well, we're going to talk about in the Gemara, actually, whether we're talking about the Vasachas, whether the Zachazeh, but whatever. Conceivably, you could have sprinkled the blood of either one. Therefore, they're considered sort of connected, and therefore, when you sprinkle the blood of the other one... It's not really, it's not, per se. No. Because no, that wouldn't matter, because you have both of them in front of you. Each one was designated as a chatas. Just the problem is, once you shech one of them, the other one becomes possible to use as a chatas, because you already niskap of achar. But you already had your kapara with a different one.
No?
That would be a chatas amesa. But here where you shechted both of them, then you forestalled that. But then what happens is, when you sprinkle the one of them, now it's true, you're not going to be able to eat both of them, but it does take away me'ilah from the other one, because it's considered like one carbon. Right, after not, because you can't have two chataris for one carbon. So, after you burn it, like any other psalam of Russian. No. The point is, but dama poitras sara, so just like the blood patters the meat of the actual carbon itself that you shech, the one whose blood you sprinkle, that makes it that the me'ilah no longer applies, the same way, it also patters the meat of the other one for the same reason, because to that extent, they're considered like one carbon. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, impata dama psar chavacha min ame'ilah. So if the blood of carbon number one takes away me'ilah from the meat of carbon number two, Then, even though the second one is possible, because moiser chatas, certainly the zrika sadam of the first one has to take away me'ilah. So therefore, certainly if you sprinkle the blood of the second one, it would take away me'ilah from it, even though there's a psul in it. So therefore, so we see, if you were to bring up the blood of the first one and then of the second one, so the second one is possible. But you're saying that even sprinkling the blood of the first one already is enough to take away the ill.
What difference if you sprinkle the blood of the second one? Wouldn't be any difference.
No, so one second. When he says dinner shiyukta sar asma, sorry, means that the same way when it comes to yoytzei, the same way as we're saying by Me'ilah, when we're saying by two chatois, that the sprinkling of the blood of the first one is able to take away Me'ilah from the blood of the second one, even though there's a psul in the second one, namely that's Moisel Chatos, by the same logic, the zrika of the yoyse, of the carbon where you took the meat out of the azara. No, forget about first and second. Now we're talking about a case where you only have one carbon, and the psul is a different one, the psul of yoyse.
Right.
So certainly the blood of that carbon itself ought to take away me'ilah from its own meat, even though there's a psul. Well, that's why Rabbi Akiva is arguing it does. That's why he's arguing against Rabbi Eliezer that it does. So Rabbi Eliezer doesn't have to accept that proof. He can say that me'ilah and making the korban mutter are two different things. But yeah, okay. Another machlekes a mure kodshim kalim shiyotu lifnei zirkas gamim. Suppose that a mure. Now let's talk about kodshim kalim again. With kodshim kalim, the rule is me'ilah only comes into play only when zrika is done. So here, when the zrika was done, the emurim had previously been taken out of the azara, which also puzzles them, because the emurim are supposed to stay in the azara the whole. The kodshim kalim themselves, the meat can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, but the emurim are supposed to stay in the azara. If they were taken out of the azara, Rashi over here says that not only they were taken out, but also they were brought back in. Achronim talk about, not necessarily, there's actually a machloek, it's about that in Zvachim, whether it's important that they were brought back in or not, but whatever. The point is they were puzzled. So the same thing. Rabbi Eliezer Oymer Ein Moylem Behem, same thing. Rabbi Eliezer says that the Zrika has no effect on them, because again, for the same reason, the Zrika does not help as far as the Yotzei, as far as what was taken out. Therefore, Me'ilah doesn't apply, because Me'ilah won't have begun, because there wasn't a proper Zrika for them. Again, if a person were to eat those Emurim, he wouldn't be chayav if the korban was pigle, or if the Emurim were left over, or if he was tamei, because they're not considered, because again, no zrika was done yet, according to him. Rabbi Akiva, I'm a Moylem, Behenna Rabbi Akiva says, like in the Resha, that Me'ilah does apply to them, because even though the Emurim themselves are possible, but the zrika has an effect on them, zrika Moylem Yotze, the chayav and alem, shum tigul noisa v'tomei, and tigul noisa and tomei, the chayuvim of that will apply, because it is considered regular emurim, even though they're possible to offer on the mizbeach, but nevertheless, the zrika still had an effect on them.
And that's because?
Because, again, he holds zrika me'elas layosa. He holds that zrika is able to have an effect, even though the meat or the emurim were taken outside of where they belong.
Interesting.
It doesn't mean he says they're mutter to burn on the mizbeach. The emurim still remain also to burn on the mizbeach. Just that it's considered that the Zrika still had an effect on them. The Zrika still changed their status from being non-Emurim to being Emurim, basically.
So the Zrika is much stronger than the Emurim, basically.
Well, the Zrika is what
the status of the Emurim.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Zrika is what accomplishes the Kapara.
No,
the carbon, yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's in general. If the korban was completely kosher and there was no yotze and no pigle and no nothing, that's exactly what would happen. As soon as the zrika is done, Me'ilah begins to apply to the emurim. Right.
Thing, but in a case where it was yotze, the emurim would be possible.
But Rabbi, they are possible, but Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't matter. Zrika me'elos the yotze. The zrika is still able to have an effect on them.
All the meat are good in the kosher kalim.
Well, the meat of kosher kalim, Me'ilah never applies to.
It's
only the Emurim that it applies to after the Zrika.
So that's the meat would actually be
Eritah. Well, you're kosher. Well, in this case where the Emurim were possible, you can't burn the Emurim on the Mizbeach, for the pastures you can't eat the meat. But nevertheless, it may still be also to eat and you're going to have to burn it. Fine, but Me'ilah wouldn't apply. Okay, so the Gemara asks, V'hani tauti lomali? Why do we need the machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva in both cases, by the meat of Kodshim Palim, and of Kodshim Kodshim, and by the Emurim of Kodshim Palim? The same principles apply that we're saying that the Zrika is or isn't effective between the meat of Kodshim Palim, of Kodshim Kodshim, the Emurim of Kodshim Palim. Either way, the premise is the same thing. Does the Zrika help for Yotze? Does it have an effect on Yotze or not? And Rabbi Eliezer says no, and Rabbi Akiva says yes. So why do you need to repeat the machloikas? The answer is tzricha. We need the machloikas both times. The e itma b'kodshe kodshim, because we were only told machloikas about kodshe kodshim, the first part of the Mishnah. Have amina. You would think, baha ka'amar Rabbi Eliezer moyim boy. You know why Rabbi Eliezer says that me'ilah still applies. Mishum the zrika ketikna matki mine me'ilah, because he would say only if the zrika was done properly, by kodshe kodshim, only then does it take away me'ilah. Shaloi ketikna le matki mine me'ilah, and if it was improper, in this case, because the meat was yotze, and he holds that zrika doesn't help for yotze, loi matki mine me'ilah, it wouldn't take away me'ilah. Avo le'isruye mine me'ilah, but you could argue when it comes to bringing me'ilah onto it, maybe he's machmer, moidu le Rabbi Akiva, maybe he would agree with Rabbi Akiva, l'chumra, da'afilu shaloi ketikna ma'isi lidei me'ilah, that even though the zrika was done not properly, because the emurim were yotze, nevertheless, l'chumra was still going to say that the zrika does help and make them have a status of kodshei Hashem, and therefore be subject to me'ilah. So therefore we need that. The itma gabe kodshim kalim, and on the other hand, if we only have the second machloik, it's by kodshim kalim, have amini, you would say the other way around. By Kodshim Kalim, yeah, Rabbi Akiva is Machmir, and says that Me'ilah applies, meaning that Zrika Shaloi Ketikna might be the Me'ilah, that even though the Zrika was no good because the meat was Yotze, maybe he does in fact hold that Zrika does not help for Yotze, and nevertheless, in this case, L'chumre it does. But when it comes to kodshe kodshim, you're talking about you want to use the zrika to be makel, to take away the status of me'ilah. You would say shaloi ketikna le'maski midei me'ilah. Maybe he would say that a zrika that was no good cannot take away me'ilah. And that's why we need both machloikas then, right? Tosfos points out, by the way, in the previous sugyas, we were talking about the idea that zrika, that we said that zrika that was no good, for example, where the korban was pigul, we said it doesn't cause me'il at the start. But we said the other way around. We were saying we took it as a given that we were arguing before in the sugyas. We were saying that maybe a zrika shaloi katikna, for example, on tigul, won't cause todshim kalim to have me'ila apply to them, but it will take away me'ila from kodshim kodshim. Because we said it at the end of the previous gemara. We said that maybe the bright over there agrees with Rav Gidol on one din and disagrees with him on the other. So what's the difference? Why over here would the Gemara be assuming that maybe Rav Akiva would say that it's more likely to bring it to Me'ila than to take away Me'ila? The Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Peretz. The difference is that there we're talking about there was a psul in the actual zrika, the korban itself, with tigul or posel or what have you. Over here we're talking about there was a side psul. All of the four avodas were done properly. The problem is that the meter, the emurim, was outside the azara. So therefore, there might be reason to say, therefore, you might argue the other way around. Therefore, you might argue that the zrika in that case is more likely to bring it to me'ila, l'chumra, rather than to take away me'ila, which would be a kula. As opposed to over there, we were talking about there was an actual problem with the zrika, or one of the avodas leading up to the zrika, so that's different.
So here, all the avodas
were done properly. It's proper machshava and everything.
Right.
The problem is only a five.
That's why we would think that
maybe Zrika would bring the Ila to Kodshim Kalim and not take it away from Kodshim Kodshim.
Because
the Zrika itself was done properly.
And
therefore, so as opposed to over there, where the Zrika itself was not done properly because the korban was tigul previously.
You cannot imply one from the other.
Yeah, that's the point. So it's just saying each one is exactly the opposite of the other. Therefore, when the Zrika itself is possible, because it or one of the four avodas before, one of the three avodas before it was no good, then you would argue it's more logical to say that it'll take away Me'ila than that it'll bring Me'ila. But when the Zrika itself is done properly, you would think, well, the Gemara is saying not. The Gemara is saying Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer agree in both cases. But you could have thought. Itmar. So now we have a discussion of Amudoy about this. Amar Rav Yechanan, ki Amar Rav Akiva Zrika me'elas layotzen. When is Rav Akiva saying that Zrika helps and changes the status when the meat or the emurim were taken out? Only shiyotzen mekhtosos. So here's your question. Only when some of it was taken out. So some of the meat or some of the emurim were taken out, but some of it is still in the azara. So therefore you can say Zrika definitely helps for what's still inside. It definitely changes its status. It definitely takes away Me'ila from Kodshim Kodshim and puts it on Kodshim Kalim. Therefore, it also helps for the part that went out, and therefore Me'ila, therefore the same minimum Me'ila, the same status as far as Me'ila applies there, and the same status as far as people know.
It
doesn't matter, Roy or Me'ila. It doesn't matter. There's some inside, at least the Kazayas, and therefore, yeah. However, if all of it was taken out, says Rabbi Yechanan, then Rabbi Akiva wouldn't say that, because then you can't say there's no migri over there. You can't say because it helps for the part inside, therefore it also helps for the part outside, because there's no part inside, so therefore we consider it as if there's no
migri. Based on
migri,
that's what it is.
Yeah, it's not the regular kind of migri that we're familiar with in Shas, but migri just means because. So because you have it, it helps for the meat inside, then so Rav Asi said to Rav Yechanan, I'm not so sure about that. I disagree with that. My colleagues in the Gola, in Bavo, Rav Asi himself lived in Eretz Yisrael, they said, Mechashbin ala Ovud v'ala Soruf. It is possible to have a machshava. It is possible for there to be a machshava which has an effect of making the korban pigul regarding what was lost or regarding what was burnt. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, let's say, for example, that emurim were burnt, not on the mizbeach, we're talking about just some, they got burnt in a fire or whatever, and meanwhile, when it comes to the zrika, he has in mind to burn the emurim chutzlus manan. Now, the emurim no longer exists, but he's saying Chaveirai Shabagolos said, nevertheless, the korban is still considered pigul.
Even though
the emurim are actually gone, even though there's no actual emurim to burn, but he had in mind to burn them chutz l'zmanon, and therefore
he had this in mind
after they were burned. The same.
So how can he protect
That's the question. Over the sort of loy itzinun ba'olam. Now let's consider when they're if they're emorim were lost or burnt, they don't exist in the world anymore. Still, we're saying that machshava helps and makes the meat possible. So the same thing over here. Even if all the meat was yotza, and therefore we should consider the meat as if it doesn't exist, what's the difference? The zrika should still be effective as if the meat was there, just like over there. The machshava is effective just as if the emurim were there.
The same thing that applies to the emurim after they're gone should apply to the...
Yeah, the pashas.
For the meat after
yes,
zrika.
The same logic should apply. If you're saying that zrika, is supposed to be having an effect, it's supposed to be moil on the meat or on the emurim, but over there the machshava is supposed to be moil on the emurim. But if there it's able to be moil, it's able to be effective even after they're burnt. So the same thing over here, it should be effective even though the meat is effectively gone because it's yotze.
Does that all of it
go from it? No, but even all of it, just like over there, even all the emorim are burnt and still pig will apply. So the question is, Mi Omer of Asi Hochi, did Rav Asi really say that? We seem to have a contradiction within what Rav Asi himself is saying. Habominer of Asi mir Rav Yechanan, because we also find that Rav Asi asked Rav Yechanan another question. Chishev l'nishpochin l'mochar mahu, what happens if the Kohen had in mind about the blood that's being poured onto the Mizbeach, that it's going to be tomorrow. Meaning, in other words, he's dealing with the Shirei Hadam, he's dealing with the leftover blood that's supposed to be poured onto the Yisoid, and while he's doing that, he has in mind a thought of Chutzlis Mane, that he's going to eat a Kazayis of it, Chutzlis Mane. One time. So he has in mind, during the Shvichas Shirayim, Rashi explains, during the Shvichas Shirayim, he has in mind that he's going to eat some of the korban the next day, which if he had that thought in mind during an earlier avoda, then it would be people. So here we're saying, is that considered? Do we consider that people or not? When he's doing the Shvicha, when he's doing the Shvichas Shirayim, is that considered an extension? Is pouring out the leftover or the blood onto the Yisrael? So is that considered part of the zrika or not? Then Rashi brings another explanation that what it means is that during the zrika he had in mind to pour out the shirayim on the yisoid tomorrow. But not he had in mind during the shvicha, but during the zrika he had in mind what? So the first explanation was during the shvicha he had in mind achila. The second explanation is during the zrika he has in mind to do the shvicha tomorrow, to pour out the shirayim, to pour out. Yeah, those are two different explanations. We're not saying they're the same explanation. Those are two different explanations in Rashi. Okay, so those are two different explanations in Rashi. Tosfos discusses over here and says that it doesn't mean either one of those, because neither one of those, Tosfos brings from various places in Zvachim that neither one. In the first case, if he has in mind doing Shvicha, that's definitely nothing. We learned in Zvachim that you can't make it pivotal at that point. If we're talking about Lishbech Shirayim Lamacher, then actually it would make it pivotal, no question about it, because anything that's Achilas Mizbeach, and here the Shvichas Shirayim is Achilas Mizbeach. He's having in mind, but he's going to pour, so therefore Tosfos gives a third explanation. What we mean is during the Zrika, or actually Son Kodshim says instead during the Halacha, he has in mind like this: there was blood, let's say, that was caught in the Kevi and then spilled it on the floor. Now the din is he doesn't have to collect it from the floor. He could just sprinkle the blood that he has left, but if he does collect it from the floor, then it's kosher to sprinkle on the Mizbeach. So now the question would be, during the halacha, or during the zrika, whatever, he has in mind that he's going to take the blood that spilled on the floor and be zodic that tomorrow. So now the question is, on the one hand, he doesn't have to collect it off the floor, so maybe therefore it shouldn't matter. On the other hand, the fact is, the fact of the matter is he could collect it from the floor and do a valid zrika with it, so maybe it should be considered. So according to Tosfos, that's what chishev l'mishpach and l'mocha matters. Okay, we have three explanations. Rashi's first explanation, during the shvicha he has in mind achila. Second explanation, during the zrika, that he's going to eat from the korban beyond the time.
Rashi during the shvicha.
Right. Second explanation is during the zrika he has in mind to do the shvicha tomorrow. He has in mind, right? And according to Tosfos, during the halacha, he has in mind to take the blood that spilled on the floor and pick it up and do zrika with it tomorrow. Right. Okay. So that was the question Rav Asi asked. Amalei Rav Zera, so Rav Zera answers, Kvar Shanisa Lanu, you, Rabbi Yochanan, already taught us in the Mishnah, Olol, that we have in Chulin, we talked about the Olol, which had a few different explanations, what it was over there. One is that it meant a hard tendon in the neck, which is not normally edible. And according to that was a point of Rabbi Yochanan, a point of Rish Lakish, it was meat that when you're skinning the animal, some little bits of meat, some shreds of meat stay attached to the skin. When you're cutting off the skin from around the animal, you accidentally cut off some meat with it. So we're saying over there that the Mishnah says over there in Chulin that Olol is able to have Tumas Oichlin, but it's not able to have Tumas Nevelis. Oh, so that's the thing. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Olol means According to Rabbi Yochanan, Olol means the tendon of the neck, which is very hard. And a tendon is what holds muscle to bones. So in the neck, there's a particularly strong tendon over there. Especially an animal has a huge head. It's got to be. So well, there's lots of tendons in the animal, but there's one particular tendon in the neck. There's one particular large one called the Olol, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And according to Rish Lakish, it means bits of meat that came off with the skin when he was skinning the animal. Anyway, the point is that a Mishnah in Zvachim says that if a person does one of the avodas, having in mind that he's going to eat from the Olol chutzlas manai, so then pigul doesn't apply because pigul only applies to parts of the animal that are edible, right? So Rabbi Zera says you already taught us that Alma. So we see from that high Olol, given the less being the shosha, since the Olol is not considered to have anything of substance because it's not really edible. It has no mamashers. Loi kibol truma, so therefore it's not makabel truma, and therefore also pigul doesn't apply to it. Hani nishvach nami. So Rav Zera says the same thing when it comes to the shvicha, kibin de leibud azli, since it's going to be poured away and lost. Bahu machshava loy mahanya. So machshava shouldn't be effective with them. So we see therefore that something that's going to be lost is not considered to be relevant as far as people. And apparently Rav Asi agreed with that because he didn't disagree with Rav Zera on that. So here we see that something that's going to be lost is considered, okay, it's already gone, therefore, pigul is not relevant to it. So how is Rav Asi saying, machashven ala obud vala sorof, that you're able to have in mind a murim that were already burnt and that pigul would apply, therefore? So it's a sira. That's the difference. I mean, the olol exists, but it's not edible. But the Rav Zera used that to say the same way the blood that's going to be poured away, or the blood according to Tosfos that already spilled on the floor, is considered it's not there anymore. So therefore the same thing. No, so therefore the same thing should apply, and therefore the same thing should apply in your case. So that's the question. Elo de katoni ala ovud vala soruf. So what does Rav Asi say in that you're able to have a machshava in connection with the ovud and the soruf kasha? So then it seems to be a contradiction to what we're saying over here. The answer is Omer Rava emala oimid leibud vala oimid lesoruf. The Rava says you're right. When Rav Asi's chaver mentioned ala ovud vala soruf, they don't mean that it's actually burnt or it's actually destroyed now. They mean that it's going to be. So right now, at the time of Zrika, they're still there. Later on, they got lost or they got burned. But therefore, machshava is effective. In other words, so what do we mean over here that's going? What do we mean over here that's going to be? The Tosfos explains. Let's say, for example, Tosfos gives a scenario is that you have. Let's say he threw the meat or he threw the emurim to a dog. And then, while it was in the air, before it actually landed in the dog's mouth, he had the machshava zman. So it's going to be lost, but the fact is, it's not lost yet. Wow. Yeah.
But you can consider it to.
Well, but the point is, in other words, that potentially it is, but right now it's not. No, but that's the point is, that the fact is, it still exists right now. Mm-hmm. So then you could say.
Very weird.
Okay, it's a very weird case, but still.
It's not dogs that are.
Oh, okay. So it's outside the Azara. You're throwing it through the door, through one of the gates.
But the Azara has been there all time.
Okay, so first of all, you could have, let's say, somebody did bring a door. Tosfos says also, let's say, for example, there's a fire over there. He's throwing it into a fire, and it's on its way to land in the fire.
When you throw from Rishus Ayachi to Rabin something, you're not going to say you have the potential to take it back. So
who said you do? We're not talking about the potential to take it back. The fact is, right now, when he had the machshava, the piece still exists. It didn't yet land in the dog's mouth. It didn't yet land in the fire. Therefore, you could argue machshava is effective on it. But had it already been lost, had it already been burnt when he had the machshava, you're right, machshava wouldn't be effective. So that's how we can reconcile these two statements of Rav Asi. Tosfos, by the way, brings like this. We started saying all of this that Rav Asi had asked a question on Rav Yochanan, that Rav Yochanan had said Rav Akiva would say only when some of it went out, but not all of it. And Rav Asi is asking, and then the Gemara has mentioned, by the way, you have a question between Rav Asi's two statements. Tosfos brings another gear, which is that Rav Asi is not asking a question on Rav Yochanan at all. Rav Yochanan made a statement. Fine, it stays like that. Then we have a new fact that Rav Asi is mentioning a din about Machashvan al Ovid Valas Toto from the Gemara is asking how to reconcile Rav Asi's two statements. But not
a question on Rav
Yochanan. No, it's not. According to that, it's not asking a question on Rav Yochanan. It's two independent things.
It has to.
No, it doesn't have to. You have a girsa, and you have a girsa that's not omelet Rav Asi than Rav Yochanan. The other girsa is just omelet Rav Asi. So in that case, it has nothing to do with Rav Yochanan's din. Omer Papa, Loi Omer Rav Akiva, Zrika Me Elos Layose, Elosh Yosa Boso. Now Rav Papa says, here's a further point. Rav Akiva, and by the way, I mean, you have, for example, the Rambam Paskins like Rav Yechanan, and also Paskins like this thing about Machashvan al-Ovid Balasoruf. So if you were going to say, like the Girsa we have in front of us, that Rav Asi is disagreeing with Rav Yechanan, how can the Rambam Paskin like both of them? But if you say that, it would be a contradiction. But if you say that he had the girsa like Tosfos does, that not Omer Lei Rav Asi, but just Omer Rav Asi, then fine. You have two independent statements. One about Rav Akiva that the Miktose but not Kuloi, and the other one about Machashvin al Ovid Valasar. Omer Papa, Loi Omer Rav Akiva Zrika Me Elos Layose. Also, here is a further detail. When Rav Akiva says Zrika Me Elos Layose, that even though the meat was taken out of the Azara, the Zrika still is able to change its status, that is only Elos Yata Boser. That's only if the meat was taken out of the Azara. Avol Dam, but if the blood was taken out of the Azara before the Zrika, even if they brought it back in and then did the Zrika, the din was, no, not Tuma, but no, it doesn't become Tuma by being taken out of the Azara, it just becomes possible by Yose. Ein Zrika may Elos Yose. Then Rabbi Akiva would agree that Zrika does not help for blood that was taken out of the Azara. So therefore, Me'ila will still continue. So therefore, if it's Kodshim, Me'ila will still apply because there's no proper Zrika to take it away. And if it's Kodshim Kalim, then Me'ila is not going to begin for the same reason. There's no proper Zrika.
Well, that applies to me, does not apply to blood.
Yeah, indeed. Tanya Nami Hochi, in fact, we learn like that in a Braisa. Shochat B'shtika, if he shechted quietly, meaning he didn't think of any psul,
right.
He didn't think any machshavas man or makom or whatever. The yosef dam, and then the blood was taken out of the azara. Alpha pisha chaza v'zorka. Even if they brought it back into the azara and sprinkled it, loy osav loy klum. Then what he did doesn't count for anything. It's not considered a proper zrika. Therefore, the kodshe kodshim loy lemboy. Therefore, his kodshe kodshim me'ila is going to continue to apply because there was no zrika to take it away. But Kodshim Kalim, Ein Ma'ilin, but when it comes to the Emorim, but Kodshim Kalim, Me'ila will not begin, because again, you need a proper Zrika in order for Me'ila to begin with Emorim.
What is the question?
He
didn't say
anything.
He's a regular
Shitta. Well, no, like Kulm, what he did as far as the Zrika doesn't count for anything. Oh, Rishtika just means he didn't have in mind any possible Machshava.
The regular Shitta.
Yeah. And, well, that's just, it means as opposed to when he had it with a Machshava of Zman or Mok.
And he declared it.
Well, it's actually Machloikas Tosfos, Rashi, Tosfos themselves talks about it in a few different places and had different opinions about it. We've talked about it since the beginning of Zvachim. Whether when we talk about Machshava Zman or Machshava Mok, does it mean thinking it in his mind or does it mean actually saying it? Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Omer Rav Akiva Holo Maza Doma, we said in the Mishnah that Rav Akiva draws a comparison between the case over here of meat of Kodshim Kalim that was taken out before the Zrika and the case of the two Chatois over there, where he has, again, he designated a Chatos, he lost it, he designated another one, then he shechted the both of them, and now he sprinkled the blood of one of them. So we said that takes away Me'ila from the meat of both of them, even though the second one is possible to eat, because it's considered Moiso Chatos, nevertheless, it still, Me'ila goes away from it. So let's talk about that. Omer Rav Elazar. Ki Omer Rav Akiva, when is Rav Akiva talking about that, the sprinkling the blood of one of these animals, patters the other one from the Ila? That was Bevas Achas, only if they were Shechted Bevas Achas. Now, what do you mean Bevas Achas? Rashi says we're talking about over here, let's say two Kohenim, Shechted them at the same time. Right, but Tosfos mentions a couple of possibilities. Do we mean, for example, one person shechted them using a very long knife? Or do we mean, Tosfos says, maybe even Bevas Achas could mean one after the other, but in other words, not that they shechted one and then sprinkled its blood and then shechted the other one, but rather they shechted one, then shechted the other one, and now they have both the blood of both of them available to sprinkle.
Two different
actions, one after the other.
Right,
well, obviously two different
things. Zrika, not
Shrita. Right, well, not simultaneous Zrika, but in other words, both of them are available for Zrika. Right. Okay, so Tosfos wonders what are the possibilities with that, so whether we say Bevas Achas, and which of those scenarios is included in Bevas Achas over here. Okay.
That's why we don't have knives that can shech two animals.
Well, we could. No, we could. We don't call it. You can have a knife that's long enough to shech multiple.
We don't have them.
We don't have them nowadays, but you could in principle.
Okay, anyway.
But if you're talking about they were shechted one after the other, then not, because, so according to Rashi, that we're talking about Bevas Achas means that two Kohenim shechted them at the same time. The problem is, if he shechted one and then shechted the second one, the problem is the moment he shechted the first one, the second one becomes Moisto Chatas. And therefore, you can't say that there's a connection between them anymore, that the Zrika of the first one should help for the second one. According to Tosfos, with the various possibilities of Bevas Achas, maybe it would help in that case, but it certainly wouldn't help if you shechted one, sprinkled its blood, and then shechted the second one.
No, but shock, in between, you have a gap.
Right. It's not a gap of time, though. Yeah, it's the point that you sprinkled already the first one. Right,
that sprinkle is completely done.
Right. Okay. Omer Rav Akiva, Omer Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva would not say it if it was Bezachazeh, according to the various definitions of Zachazeh. So he would say, in that case, in order for the Zrika of one, take away the Ila from the other one, it would have to be that they were Shechted Bevasachas, according to these various definitions of
Bevasachas. The beginning of the...
Again, according to Rashi, Bevasachas means that both of them were Shechted at the same time by two different kohanim. What do you mean?
The beginning of the Shechita on one end.
One long knife.
No, two separate kohanim. One is shechting this one. One is shechting this one, and they're both doing it at the same time. According to Tosfos, it could mean one kohen doing it all with a long knife, or it could mean one after the other, as long as they didn't sprinkle the blood of the one in between. Okay. Okay. So Tanya, we learned a price. So Amr of Shimon, Kshahalachti Lekfar Pani. When I went to Pani village, a place in Eretz Yisrael, Mitzaani Zokin Echad, an old Talmud Chacham met up with me, the Amrli, and he asked me, Oimer Hoyer Rav Akiva Zrika Me'elas LaYotze? Did Rav Akiva really say that Zrika helps for a korban that was taken out of the Azara and changes its status? That's that because he didn't agree with it. He held like Rav Eliezer of Pashas. Amarti Lohein. I said, yes, that's in fact what Rav Akiva holds. Then Rav Shimon says, when I went and told this over to my colleagues in the Galil about Israel, Omruli, they said, we also disagree, and we'll explain why we did this. That Zokin apparently disagreed, but he didn't say why. We're going to explain why. How like posel, who after all, the korban is posel, the meat is posel, because it was outside the Azara. Heyach merasa ala posel. How could Zrika help to be merasa, to make acceptable a meat of a korban versus posel?
The
Pashas, we're talking about even if only part of it. That part, how is the Zrika helping? How is it merasa and making it into a korban which is kosher to the extent that Me'ila shouldn't apply to it anymore and Pigul Nosu and Tomei should apply to it?
That was
the argument we said before. But these Chaverei Shabagolo and that Zokin disagreed with that. So Rav Shimon says, when I left there, and I told over the whole conversation to Rav Akiva, Omer Li says to me, Bni, Yata Omer Kain, my son, by telling me all of this, you're implying that you find their argument to be compelling.
You disagree.
That you find a reason to disagree with me. You don't say that. You don't think that Zrika should help for Yotze, even though it's possible. Let me give you an example. This is the example of our Mishnah. A person designated an animal for a chatas, and then he lost it. He designated another korban instead. Then he found the original animal, and now both of them are standing in front of us, and we're able to shecht either one, and whichever one we shecht, then the other one is going to become moiser. The din would be that me'ilah applies to both of them, because either one could be used for a chatas. So you can't say another. In other words, if we were to say one of them was a chatas anesa, then me'ilah wouldn't apply to it anymore, because now it's not called she Hashem, it's not going to be brought on the mizbeach. But neither one is a chatas anesa at this point. Well, because that's how it is. Chatas Anesa is only in the scapra b'acheres. Only if he was in the scapra with one of them, then the other one becomes a Chatas Anesa. Here he hasn't, because he hasn't shechted either one. So it's not a Chatas Anesa. But shechtan, then what happens if he shechts them? V'lasachas, v'aridomon munach b'koisit, and the blood of them is in the basins, and they didn't do the zrika yet. Also, Meila understand. Also, Meila is still going to apply to both of them, because no zrika has been done yet. But Nizrach Dam shall echad mehen, but Rabbi Akiva continues, once you sprinkle the blood of one of them, and now at that point the other one becomes Moiso Chatas, Iyatam Moide, don't you, Rav Shimon, agree, Shekashem Shadama Poitras Sara Min HaMe'ila, that just like the blood of that first one passes the first one, that very same korban, from Me'ila, Af Yifter B'sar Chavar Min HaMe'ila, then also it helps and it takes away Me'ila from the second one. So in other words, to that extent, up until the Zrika, they're still considered like one carbon. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva finishes, they're using the same logic as in our Mishnah. Im hisub sar chavert, I mean, I'm ila. So if the Zrika of the first one is able to save the second one from being subject to me'ila anymore, apapishu apostle, even though the din is the second one is possible, because moisu chatas, din hu shiyasala sara. Then by the same logic, when it comes to yotze, never mind two korbanos, again, now we're back to the case, there's only one korban and it was yotze. We should say the same thing, that the zrika of that very same korban, even though its meat is possible, should help for its meat, even though it's possible. So there you go. You're telling me the chaverai of a galil, and you're telling me the zaken disagree with that. But I can prove to you based on this story with the two chatois that it does work. However, Amar Shlokish, Mishum Rav Oshia, Shuba Gnuva Hashiva Rav Akiva Lo'oseh Talmud. Actually, Rav Akiva, what he answered to that Talmud, namely to Rav Shimon, is a Shuba Gnuva, which means, in other words, it's not really such a glatter answer. No. Stop. We're not talking about that. Shuba Gnuva does not mean that he stole something. Tosfos translates it Pirush Aluma Umechusa. It's obscure, and it's hidden. Because you can slug it up. Like a ganav operates in secret. So the same thing, there's a secret over here. There's something obscure about this. Because you're saying that it only works if he shechted the two of them b'vasachas, not if it was b'zeachazeh. Now, if you're arguing, the point is that even though it's possible, the zrika still helps. So who cares? Even if it's b'zachazeh, if one of them passes the other one, even though the other one became moiser chatas, and you're considering them to be one goof, until the zrika. So why should it matter if you shechted them at the same time or one after the other? So that's the Shuba Gnuva, that's the obscurity, that's the unclear detail in the answer over there. But Rav Yechanan says to Rav Shlokish, okay, so you're telling me from Rav Oshia that it's a Shuba Gnuva, that on the face of it there shouldn't be a difference between the Vasachas or the Zachazeh, but how can you say, do you not say like that? You think that they're considered, even if it's the Zachazeh, they should be considered one wolf? Consider like this, says Rabbi Yechanan. Let's say, forget about a chatas for a second. Let's say a person set aside two ashamas for achrayas. So one is a regular, one is a backup. That if he loses one of them, he's going to use the other one. Rashi, by the way, says the same thing would be if it was two chatos. So chatos has an even greater kedusha than asham. So the same din would work. And the shochat
shleim,
because he takes the example of an asham, that even by an asham this din applies.
Right.
So kol shekein, Rashi says kol shekein shtei chatos. So let's say he had two ashamis or two chatos lachrayis. The shochat shneya. Now suppose he shechted both of them, which he wasn't supposed to do, because one was supposed to be for Achraes. The Kodim Behela Imurim Shal Echaman Kodim Zuka, if he were to now take the Imurim of one of those two animals and put him on the Mizeach before doing the Zuka, and then he did, and so he has, there's this one and there's this one, so he takes, there's number one and there's number two, so he takes the Imurim of number two and puts them on the Mizeach before he did the Zuka of number one. Wouldn't you agree that even though those emurim were put on the mizbeach, they have to come down from the mizbeach? Because even when they do the zrika of the other one, it's not going to help. It's not going to help for these emurim because they come from a different goof. The sakudai, the chad goofahu. If you're going to tell me that two animals are considered one goof, amayim olu yerudu, why would they have to come down? Ha'oma ula. Don't we have a din that ula said emure kodshim kalam shehelam lefnei zrika dam lo yerudu, that if you put emurim on the mizbeach before the zrika, even though you weren't supposed to, lo yerudu, you don't take them down because nas the lachmei shom mizbeach, because already they become the food of the mizbeach, and the rule is im olu lo yerudu. So therefore, we see from that in that sense, those two animals are considered distinct. So by the same logic, you can say when they were done with Asachas, you can consider them one, but not when it was B'Asachas. Ishtik, so Rosh Lakish was quiet and he didn't have an answer to that. Amar Rav Yechanan cuts its kinun l'rag lohi d'yinuka. So Rav Yechanan says, I've cut off the feet of the young one. In other words, Rosh Lakish is younger than Rav Yechanan. In other words, like he's saying, I slugged him, like Rav Yechanan is pleased with himself, I slugged him up. I did see a different explanation that the yanuka that he's referring to over here was not Rish Lakish but rather Rav Oshia. There were two different Rav Oshias. There was a Rav Oshia who was older than Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish, and then there was another one who was younger. So he could be referring to him.
It's me now. There's no difference between together or not together.
Well, there is it. No, so that actually, so Rashi, one second. Rashi and Tosfos make a point over here. Wouldn't the same question be on Rav Yechanan? If Rav Yechanan is saying there's a difference between Rav Asachas and Rav Achazer, so how does that help? Still, with the case of the two Ashamos, we say that if you put the Emunah on him, all the Yerju. So Rashi says the difference is when it comes to Me'ilah, sure, you can say the sprinkling of the blood of the other one takes away Me'ilah from the other one. But to allow the Emunah to be put on the Mizeach, you need the Zrika of that own carbon. So in other words, emurim are a stronger thing. For emurim, you need something stronger. You need the zrika of that actual carbon. You can't say we're going to choose another carbon and it's going to be like it was part of the same goof. You
absolutely
need the emurim of the same carbon that the blood was sprinkled. So fine, all that is telling us, you put them on before. Right, so in other words, so fine, you put them on before the zrika of that very same carbon, fine, they're locked, they're on the mizbeach. But we're not going to say that the zrika of a different carbon is going to allow the emurim to stay on the mizbeach. But when it comes to me'ilah, then we could say that. Because Me'ilah is a different din. So therefore, they're right.